The messages looked clean, confident, American. Profiles flashed flags, charts, and calm certainty. Buy now, hold steady. This one is different. People listened. Money moved fast, quiet at first, then all at once. Small stocks jumped like they had good news behind them. The chats filled with praise and urgency. Do not sell. Shorts are scared. Trust the plan. Then the floor dropped. Prices collapsed without warning. Accounts went dark. Messages stopped. The confidence vanished overnight. Investigators later traced the voices back across the Pacific. Not advisors, not licensed. An organized network posing as U.S. professionals, pushing hype, timing exits, and disappearing as prices peaked. By the time regulators put the pieces together, the damage was already done. $214 million gone. Thousands of investors left staring at losses they never saw coming. And the question no one could answer fast enough was simple. How many times had this already worked before anyone noticed? Chapter 1. The accounts that looked American. The posts did not look foreign. They looked familiar. Clean headshots, navy suits, office backdrops that suggested glass towers and city views, American flags cropped into profile banners, bios that promised experience, discipline, and steady returns. Some accounts claimed years on Wall Street. Others leaned on patriotism and plain talk. All of them spoke with confidence. They appeared almost overnight across major social platforms. Short videos, market breakdowns, confident predictions delivered in calm tones. The language was simple and reassuring, no jargon overload, no wild promises, just certainty. One stock at a time. Followers were nudged, not rushed. This one is undervalued. This one is being ignored. This one has strong fundamentals if you know where to look. The real push happened off the public feed. Private message invitations followed likes and comments. Group chats formed. Access felt earned. Screens filled with charts, arrows, and countdowns. Members were told they were early. Buy during the next window. Hold. Do not panic. Within hours of these coordinated messages, trading activity shifted. Thinly traded stocks that had drifted for months suddenly surged. Volume spiked without a press release, without earnings, without any clear public catalyst. Price candles grew tall. Comment sections lit up with excitement. Newcomers asked why the stock was moving. The answer was always ready. Smart money is stepping in. Institutions are loading quietly. This is how it starts. The accounts spoke with authority. They referenced market mechanics. They warned about manipulation by outsiders and short sellers. Any dip was framed as an attack. Any hesitation was fear talking. The tone never broke. Calm, measured. Behind the scenes, analysts and compliance teams at brokerages noticed the pattern before most investors did. The same phrases appeared across different accounts. The same timing. The same tickers. Buying pressure arrived in tight windows, often clustered around the same hours. Trading desks flagged unusual activity. Not illegal by itself. Odd. The accounts claimed to operate from New York, California, Texas. Some listed certifications. Others avoided specifics and leaned on community trust. When questioned directly, they deflected. Focus on the play. Ignore the noise. The profiles did not argue. They blocked. Investigators would later begin mapping the digital footprint. Not a full picture yet. Just early signals. Login patterns that did not match claimed locations, posting schedules that aligned with a different time zone, language quirks that slipped through the polished surface, certain phrases repeated across dozens of accounts, sometimes word for word, typos appeared in the same places, emojis were avoided entirely, as if by instruction. The voices sounded American, but the rhythm underneath told a different story. Private groups grew fast, hundreds turned into thousands. Screenshots of gains circulated, always selective, always optimistic. Early members praised the advisors publicly. Thank you for the call. You saved my account. This is real guidance. New followers poured in. The algorithm did the rest. The stocks kept climbing. Market surveillance teams began linking accounts together. Shared infrastructure surfaced slowly. IP addresses routed through the same providers. Devices that appeared unrelated were tied to identical back-end services. The pattern pointed east. At this stage, nothing was proven. Only suspected, the accounts continued to insist they were U.S.-based. They referenced American holidays. They posted during U.S. market hours. They spoke about regulation as if it were a shared concern, not a threat. The illusion held because it did not feel rushed. No countdown clocks. No shouting. Just steady encouragement. Hold steady. We are watching the levels. As prices climb, so did trust. Investors shared personal stories, savings, retirement hopes, second chances after losses. The advisors responded with reassurance, never empathy that crossed into intimacy, professional distance maintained. The stocks chosen were not household names. They sat in the corners of the market where attention was scarce and liquidity was thin. A little buying pressure went a long way. A coordinated push could move prices fast. The advisors framed this as opportunity. Inefficiencies. Behind the screens, analysts tracked the flow. The same pattern kept emerging. Rises. Heavy volume. No news. The question shifted from why these stocks were moving to who was guiding the movement. At this point, there was still no clear victim count, no dollar figure, no public warning, just signals stacking up quietly. The accounts remained active, confident, untouched. For every follower who hesitated, two more joined. The messages continued to land. The windows kept opening. And somewhere behind the polished American profiles, someone was watching the price action with a different goal in mind. The surge was real. The trust was real. What no one in those chats could see yet was how carefully the timing had been planned and how quickly those same voices could disappear once the moment came. Chapter 2. Bike. The move always started the same way. A narrow window, a sudden push. Messages landed inside private groups minutes before the open or just after the bell. Buy, pressure needs momentum, do not hesitate. Orders stacked quickly, market depth thinned. The first prints came through, then the next, then a rush that looked organic if you did not know where to look. The price jumped, volume followed. Public feeds lit up with clipped videos and calm explanations. Breakout confirmed, resistance cleared. This is the phase where weak hands get shaken. The advisors spoke slowly, deliberately, no shouting, no urgency that looked desperate. Just control. As the price climbed, new accounts amplified the story. Comment sections filled with confidence. Screenshots showed green numbers and tidy gains. Anyone who questioned the move was labeled uninformed or fearful. Dissent vanished fast. Inside the private groups, the message hardened. Hold. Do not sell early. The real move is coming. Small pullbacks were framed as tests. They want your shares. This is where people make mistakes. Trading data later showed a different story. As retail buying accelerated, large sell orders began slipping out in pieces, not blocks that would spook the market. Controlled exits, timed carefully into strength, the selling pressure blended into the volume spike, invisible to most eyes. The advisors never acknowledged it. They stayed bullish. The stock peaked faster than many expected, sometimes in hours, sometimes over a few days. The price stalled, momentum slowed, in the chats, reassurance turned into explanation. Consolidation is healthy. This is normal. Then came the drop. It never arrived with warning. One red candle, then another. Stops triggered. Liquidity vanished. Panic spread faster than the hype ever had. Messages flooded the groups. What is happening? Should we sell? Are you still in? The advisors stayed calm at first. Hold. This is manipulation. Selling now locks in losses. But the price kept falling. Harder. Screenshots of gains stopped appearing. Public posts slowed, some accounts went quiet for hours. Others doubled down on optimism, insisting a rebound was imminent. The tone shifted from confident to defensive without ever admitting fault. Behind the scenes, the exits were already done. Market analysts later reconstructed the trades. The earliest sellers had entered before the hype reached peak visibility. Their average prices were far below where most followers bought in. When the dump finished, the spread told the real story. Retail investors held the losses. The promoters were gone. The pattern did not stop with one stock. It repeated, different ticker, same language, same timing. Each cycle sharpened the operation. Groups formed faster. Trust transferred from one play to the next. Losses from the last spike were framed as temporary setbacks that the next win would erase. The advisors positioned themselves as guides through chaos they did not create. They blamed outside forces, market makers, short sellers. Anything but themselves. Investigators tracking the activity began to see the structure clearly. This was not random hype. It was organized. Scripts reused, schedules aligned, accounts rotated roles. Some focused on credibility. Others handled amplification. A few managed the private funnels where the real coordination happened. The selling always occurred quietly. No announcements, no signals. Only later would trading logs show that the same clusters of accounts exited near the top every time. The term investigators used was simple: ramp and dump. Not the crude pump and dump schemes of the past, filled with wild promises and spam emails. This was slower, cleaner, built for modern platforms where trust is manufactured through consistency and tone rather than noise. The advisors never promised guaranteed returns. They did not have to. They promised insight. As losses mounted, some followers confronted them directly. Accusations surfaced in private messages. You told us to hold. You said you were still in. The responses came back measured and distant. We are managing risk. Everyone must decide for themselves. Then the blocks began. Chats, closed groups, accounts that had been active daily vanished overnight. New profiles appeared weeks later, polished and patient, ready to start again under different names. Regulatory analysts pulled more data. The exits traced back to the same origin points. The coordination was undeniable now. Still, the challenge remained. The actors were offshore. The platforms were slow to react. The trades themselves sat in gray zones where intent mattered more than mechanics. By the time warnings reached the public, the damage had already spread. Investors stared at charts that told the story too late. Peaks that now looked obvious, drops that felt sudden only because the exits were hidden. The spike had done its job. It drew attention. It created belief. And when belief peaked, the dump followed with precision. What remained was a trail of losses, unanswered messages, and a growing realization that the voices guiding the trades had never planned to stay for the fall. Chapter 3, The Fallout Nobody Sees Coming. The reckoning did not arrive with sirens or arrests. It came quietly, in spreadsheets and account statements. Regulators began adding the losses together after the trades were already finished. One stock at a time, one account at a time. Patterns that had once looked isolated started to line up. When the totals were finally compiled, the number stunned even seasoned investigators. Roughly $214 million. That figure did not belong to one market crash or a single bad week. It represented a slow bleed across dozens of coordinated hype cycles. Each ramp looked small on its own. Together, they formed a massive transfer of wealth from retail investors to operators who never planned to stay visible. Victims described the same moment of realization. The chats went silent. The guidance stopped. The reassurance vanished. Some tried to sell after the collapse, only to find there was no demand left. Others held on, hoping the advisors would return with answers or a recovery plan. They did not. Accounts were deleted. Usernames changed. Message histories disappeared. For many, the losses were not abstract. Retirement savings, college funds, cash. People who believed they were following disciplined advice instead found themselves explaining sudden gaps in their finances to spouses and family members. Shame kept many quiet. By the time complaints reached regulators, months had passed. Authorities faced a familiar problem. The actors were offshore. The platforms were global. The trades themselves exploited legal gray areas. Posting bullish opinions is not illegal. Encouraging others to buy is not automatically fraud. What mattered was intent, coordination, and undisclosed self-dealing, proving that across borders and encrypted channels took time. Investigators confirmed key elements. The accounts were not licensed advisors. The claimed U.S. locations were false. The selling occurred while followers were urged to hold. Those facts were established through platform records, trading data, and infrastructure analysis. Other elements remained allegations, including the full hierarchy behind the operation and how many people coordinated each cycle. What was clear was scale. Regulators issued warnings and enforcement actions tied to known accounts and associated entities. Platforms suspended profiles linked to the activity. Some investors recovered small portions of their losses through settlements or account reversals. Most did not. The speed of the scheme had outpaced the response. Industry analysts pointed to structural weaknesses. Identity verification on social platforms lagged behind the influence those platforms now carried. Financial content traveled faster than oversight. Algorithms rewarded engagement, not accuracy. The fraud thrived in that gap. By the time detection systems flagged unusual behavior, the ramps were already complete. By the time reports were filed, the money had moved again. Each delay favored the operators. Victims spoke about trust more than money. They trusted the tone. They trusted the consistency. They trusted what felt familiar. The accounts did not look reckless or greedy. They looked disciplined. That illusion turned skepticism into loyalty. When the losses came, many blamed themselves first. Regulators stressed one point repeatedly. The scheme was not sophisticated because of technology. It was effective because of psychology, calm voices, repetition, community pressure, the promise of being early. Nothing in the charts warned of intent. Only behavior did. As enforcement actions rolled out, officials acknowledged limits. Some perpetrators might never be identified publicly. Others could resurface under new names, using new platforms, adapting tactics as quickly as rules were written. The operation was dismantled in pieces, not destroyed in one sweep. For the platforms involved, the episode triggered internal reviews. New monitoring tools were promised. Faster takedowns were announced. Verification processes were tightened in some regions. Critics argued it was still not enough. The incentives had not changed. Financial influence remained profitable. Trust remained easy to manufacture, and the next version of the scheme would not look exactly like the last. The $214 million figure became a reference point inside regulatory circles, a case study, a warning, proof that modern market manipulation no longer required boiler rooms or cold calls. All it required was a convincing voice and a screen. For the investors who lost money, closure was uneven. Some accepted the loss as tuition paid to experience. Others pursued complaints long after hope faded. A few swore off markets entirely. What stayed with many was the silence after the drop. The moment when the guidance stopped, the realization that the confidence had never been mutual. The ramp and dump did not end with a single collapse. It ended with awareness. With the understanding that the most dangerous frauds do not shout or rush. They speak calmly. They wait patiently. And they leave before the damage is obvious.